It's wonderful to be blessed. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms chapter number 1.
That's exactly what we're going to preach on. Being blessed. Now, the first and second Psalm out of 150 Psalms is not titled. All the rest of them has a title with them. These two does not. Some people has given Psalms chapter 1 the Psalm of the Holy Ghost. But we want to look because the book of Psalms, of course, Psalms were used as hymns. They would sing. As we come together this morning, Chris was talking about the songs that we sung, congregational songs, took her back to her home church. And when, her mom and dad used to take her to church and sing those songs. And you know, sitting listening to those songs and listening to Sister Darlene sing that song, it's wonderful to be able to come together and sing hymns. Hymns that lifts us up to glorify God. Hymns are also meant to encourage the children of God. You know, there's a lot of lost people that sings gospel songs, especially country artists and people like that. They'll sing gospel songs, but there's a great difference between someone lost singing a gospel song and someone who knows in what you're singing about. There's great encouragement, uplifting. You can worship God through song when that song tells you a truth that stirs your spirit because it's a truth taught in the Word of God. And so therefore, it brings about you something that you want to glorify God about. And that's wonderful to have. So this morning, we want to look at Psalms chapter 1. Let me say this as well. The book of Proverbs is separating and showing a contrast between the wise and the foolish. A fool says in their heart, there is no God. A fool lives his life or her life as if there is no God. And so therefore, it contrasts those. Now here in Psalms, it contrasts the difference between those who are blessed, those who are damned. And we won't look at this morning because the devil, he spends his time doing his best to hide from you, if you're lost, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says if it's hid, it's hid to those that are lost. And also, he also tries to hide from you the results of living your life and dying without the gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to know that you will be damned. He doesn't want you to know that you will be doomed. As a matter of fact, political correctness has moved into our churches to such a degree that many churches have quit preaching on hell because they think it's too negative. But folks, we could not mention hell the rest of our life, and it doesn't change the fact that if you die without Christ, hell will be the place that you will end up. And so therefore, it's our responsibility to forewarn you and blow the trumpet and tell you that you need Christ. You know, people look and says, who's successful in life? Sometimes we get the worldly view that those who are successful has got many things. But the Bible says, beware of covetousness. Our life does not consist of the things in which we have. We need to be very careful. Material things are zeros. They're zeros because you can't take them with you. You have them, and you may have them. They may be your toys, or they may have, what do you want to call them? But they're zeros, unless you have something in front of the zeros. And there's only one that you can put in front of zero and have anything, and that's Christ. And once you put a one, then that, regardless of how many zeros you have, then they become something. But what we want you to understand is that we are to be blessed and count ourselves blessed if we are saved. Now look again, if you would, In Psalms chapter 1, let's begin reading these six verses. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. So verse number 1, I would outline that. That is the path of the righteous. That's the path that we that are saved, the godly, should go. Those of us who has God in our life. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, that's our pleasures. We derive our pleasures from the Word of God. And the Word of God feeds to us things that brings pleasures in our life. Number 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So there I would outline that verse as our prosperity. Things in which those who are blessed prospers. And we'll get on that in a moment. Then verse 4, it does a contrast. And it contrasts those who are righteous, those who are godly, with those who are ungodly. Now listen, some people said, well, I'm not wicked. To be classified wicked means that you have rejected the love gift of God. Anyone who rejects God's gift is classified in the Bible as wicked. They are living their life without God. The word ungodly means that they believe that they can live their life without God. And the only way to have God is, we know through the New Testament, is to have Jesus Christ. Unless you have Christ, you are ungodly. Now notice the contrast between being blessed if you're righteous, and remember, blessed is not dependent upon circumstances. I know Darlene, she was talking about her report this week, and Brother Sisson was talking about the other day when he got a report on cancer. And his was a fast-growing cancer. He didn't know what and how far it had spread. And somebody asked, what you going to do? He said, I'm going to do what I've done for all these other years. I'm going to live one day at a time, trusting in the Lord. And so therefore, you can be blessed because you can still be blessed even when you have to deal with something that you don't like to do that, don't like to deal with. But it's one of those things that we have to do. But notice verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft which the wind driveth away. So first of all, I'd say this: the ungodly is driven away. Verse number 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They are doomed. Number 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. They are damned. Now let's look at this just a few moments and look. Now notice that both groups, they have fellowship with their own companies. They have people that they relate to. Both groups have direction in life, and they choose directions in their life. But also, both groups will have destinations, and they will end up certain places, and they will not be the same places. Here, those who are saved are described as stable, as gracious, as prosperous. Those who are unsaved, ungodly, are empty, futile, and they will be forgotten. Can you imagine being in this life? And if I was asking you right now, and you young people, listen to me. If I was asking you, what do you want to accomplish in life? Can you imagine that if you do not die with Christ and have Christ, when you die, now listen to me, you will be forgotten. At a certain time, you will be forgotten and never remembered no more. Your life will make absolutely no mark, and all you will be doing is suffering in hell throughout eternity. No personality, no remembrance as far as being remembered. You will be forgotten. Yet you will have memory, and you will be gnashing yourself with your teeth. You'll be hating yourself because of the opportunities that you spurned. This is a serious matter of salvation. It's not something to ignore. It's not something to gloss over. God does his best to try to throw up flags and warn people. Jesus, when he preached, he tried to warn people. Look back, if you would, in verse number 1. The Bible says if you want to be blessed, and we know to be blessed is to be a child of God, to be saved. But also, the Bible says if we're blessed, we don't believe like the ungodly. In other words, we don't look to the counsel of the world. The world doesn't tell us what we need to believe and what we don't. Listen, we have one source of truth. The world doesn't understand. Our truth is the Word of God. It's truth. All this other garbage is garbage in, garbage out. During this political season, one sent over here, say, I believe in this, and over here, next out of his mouth, I don't believe in this. I'm going to support this, I'm not going to support this. Can't believe a word sometimes. You turn on news media, and whoever they want to build up, they send propaganda. Can't believe a word. But my friend, we got truth. Now, so therefore, we don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. We have our own source of truth. Somebody said, a news network you can trust. It's right here. Amen. You can trust this one. The key is to have the right commentator that preaches the word. Just preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. In other words, it's not my job to change the word to suit you. It's my job to preach the word and let you deal with the word however you want to deal with the word. But it's going to hurt you sometimes. It's going to cut you sometimes. You know why? Because the word is very important. The word, the Bible teaches us, the word has many different descriptions in the Bible that it tells us that it's like food, light, it's like truth, it's like a mirror, it's like water, it's like a seed, sword, hammer, fire. I mean, the word comes at you in all different ways. It can cut you. It can beat you. It can build you up. It can strengthen you. It can bring you to the source of salvation. The word is so important. Amen. Now, so we don't believe like the ungodly. Verse number 1, we also don't behave like the ungodly. In other words, we don't stand in the way of sinners. We don't stay with them. Number 3, we don't belong with the ungodly. We are to be separate from the ungodly. You know, Lot, even though he was a saved man, he failed in this. The danger was he followed his flesh. He walked with them. He stood with them. And he sat with them. And you know what happened? He lost his family. He lost so much. But yet he was saved. But look what all he did. It's a downward trend. When you that are a child of God gets on the wrong path, a downward path, we can be so blessed. Now, you young people, listen to me a minute. Let me give you a word of advice. Now, listen very carefully. You listen? Choose your friends wisely. You will be known by your friends. Somebody said one time, if you run with chickens, you'll learn to cluck. If you run with eagles, you'll learn to soar. And so you depend. You'll be known by your friends. Choose your friends wisely. Number 2, invest time. Now listen, young people. Invest time in the Word of God. Invest time in the Word of God. And last but not least, seek God's will for you in your life, and you will be blessed. It's wonderful to be blessed. Somebody said, how are you? I'm blessed. They can come to you in the hospital room. You can have your feet in cast. You can have recovering from surgery, and they can look at you and say, how are you? I'm blessed. Amen? I'm blessed because I'm a child of God. Many successes, amen, that God gives us. Now here, the word, the Bible says in verse number 2, that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, the word of God has to play a crucial role. Look in verse number 3. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now let me talk just a minute about the water. The water is our resource. Keep your finger there a moment. Turn with me to Isaiah 55 real quickly. Isaiah 55. Why is it important? And young people, why do I tell you? Get off your phone some and get into the Bible and get to know the Bible. Spend time in the Bible. Why? Look, if you would, in Isaiah 55 and verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. In other words, the word of God is going to be a great value to you. What happens is, now listen to me, if you want to be blessed, this is your source of where you get your blessings. God uses his word to bring about like a river of waters. How many of you have ever in a time of trouble, God gave you a verse? I remember one time I was struggling with an issue when I first came and pastored this church. I was having opposition and I didn't know young pastor, and I was praying about it, and it was like someone's trying to just tear the church up and go against me and work against me behind my back. And I prayed, and God gave me the verse, Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I put it all over my house. And I studied that verse. God gave it to me, and I began to realize what I need to learn to do is wait upon the Lord and not try to take matters in my own hands. And you know what? Where I was so tore up, not knowing how to deal with something, all of a sudden I had a peace. I can't explain it other than it's a peace that passes all understanding. It came, and I just trusted in God, and every time something come up, I said, God, that's yours to deal with. I'm just going to keep preaching. And you know what? He solved that matter magnificently, beyond any measure I could ever understand. And by the way, it all came up over the fact that the church had never supported missions. And I told the church that we wanted to take on missionaries. And we were voting to take a missionary on for $25 a month, one, our first missionary. And the opposition was from one person, we couldn't afford it. And he could afford it himself. When he left, and he did, that same year, instead of giving $25 that month, we gave $25,000 that year to missions. The next year, we gave $70,000 to missions. The reason why is because God is in control. He is our source. That's what brings blessings in our life. Darlene got word this week she had cancer. That's your river of life. Some of you going through struggles of other things. That's it. And so therefore, we have the river of life. Next, notice, if you would, in verse number 3, that he compares us to a tree. Now, in Matthew 13, a tree is like a kingdom. In Proverbs, it's mentioned a tree is like an individual. Here, he's talking about us being individual. We are spiritually rooted in a system in the kingdom of God when we get saved. We have spiritual roots. And so, therefore, when we become saved, the reason why we're blessed is we have the rivers of water, and we are like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We're rooted in that. We're alive. We're beautiful, we're fruitful, and therefore we're like a vine. Jesus is a vine, and we are the branches. We abide in him, and we have life through him. But notice as well that the Bible says that it's like a tree planted. If you study that word planted, it means transplanted. It means you didn't get there by yourself. God put you there. In other words, when you get saved, you become one of the blessed because he takes you, a wild olive tree, someone that's destined to be burned, and he takes you and he transplants you by the river of water, and therefore he puts your roots into the Word of God. You are rooted into a system. You're part of the kingdom of God. He has now made you a child of the King, and you are now blessed because where God transplanted you to. Now notice here, if you would, when he transplants you, the position. He keeps you by the rivers of water. Knows as well the prominence. A tree stands above others. And the world may hate you, but I'm going to tell you something. When you're walking with the Lord, they take notice of you. And they realize there's something different in you than it is in them. Not only that, but also, knows if you would, how permanent we are. The Bible says, planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in season. His leaf also does not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In other words, we are planted, we have deep roots. As a matter of fact, we have eternal life. As a matter of fact, we have a God that never leaves us nor forsakes us. Somebody said, why are you blessed? God's with me. Well, how about that going on in your life? God knows it. If God wants to remove it, he can remove it. If God wants to bring me home, take me home. Sort of like John Rice said one time when he's fixing to go into a revival meeting and some guy stuck a gun in his belly and he said, your money or your life. He said, son, don't ever threaten me with heaven. And he went on and walked into the revival meeting. And you know what happened? The thief walked in there, heard the message he preached, and got saved. But you know what? What can we be threatened of? What's the worst this world can do? Fear not him that can kill your body, but rather fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. And so we don't have to fear nothing in this life, amen? Well, what if we get the word that we've got fourth-stage cancer? I remember Linda Robinson's husband, Joe, found out he'd been having issues and nobody could tell him what it was. Then all of a sudden, they just told him, fourth-stage of pancreatic cancer. You got 3 weeks to live. And I went over there and I'd visit Brother Joe, and he talked like going to heaven like he talked going to Somerset. Calm, collected, no fear. And I thought, what grace God gives you when it's time to die. Boy, I tell you what, we're blessed. Blessed to be able to have and to know where our roots are grounded and to know. Not only that, but notice that we are productive. In other words, we bring forth fruit. And you know, all the world. And sometimes I've went to some of these funerals of worldly leaders or rich people or something like that, and they go through on and on and on all their accomplishments. But you know what? It amounts to nothing. Because everything they accomplish will be burned up. The only fruit that will stand is fruit that's brought to bring other people into the kingdom of God. Not only that, but notice, if you would, in his seasons. We have different seasons. Some seasons are fruitful. Some were growing, some were resting, different things. Somebody said, why do you need rest? Some every now and then you just need to get away and get do rest. It done us good, just get away for a week and to be able to rest a little bit and come back. Also knows, if you would, leaf shall not fade. And everything he does will prosper. In other words, the Bible says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In other words, God has a way of blessing your personal life, your family life, your church life, your spiritual life. Now let's contrast that to the ungodly. Notice if you would in verse number 4, the ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff. Now chaff is on wheat, it's like the little husk and so forth that surrounds the holds the seed of wheat and the stem and so forth. And so what they would do is, The wicked are pictured in many different ways in the scripture, but here in many other places, it's called shaft. Now, shaft is contrasted with the righteous as being trees. In other words, he said, you're blessed because you're a tree. Not so with the ungodly. They're like shaft. And what they would do is they would winnow. Winnow is what? They take their wheat, they put it in a cloth, and they catch a little wind, and they'd flip it up, and the wind would blow a shaft away. And then they'd flip it up again, blow some more away. Blow it up again, flip up again. And that'd be winnowing, the wheat. And whatever was left, they'd gather it up of the shaft, and they would throw it into the fire, and they would burn it. That is what would happen. Matter of fact, John the Baptist used that same thing. Keep your finger there in Psalms and go with me to Matthew chapter number 3. Now keep your fingers in Matthew just a moment. We're going to go a couple places real quickly. Notice you went to Matthew chapter 3. Notice you would what John the Baptist said in verse number 7. The Bible says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the roots of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, he shall thoroughly purge the floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the shaft with unquenchable fire. And so the Bible tells us that we need to be very careful. Psalm 73 talks about when David got so depressed looking at the prosperity of the rich. Then God took him in sanctuary and he saw their latter end. And he realized in a moment they were swept down into destruction. In a moment. I often think when I read that verse in Deuteronomy where it talks about your foot shall slide. I often think about when I was a little boy walking on mossy rock in the creeks and how that you'd be walking there and then all of a sudden, just in a moment, you think you have it all under control. In a moment, you'd be sitting there splashing in the water because your feet flew out from under you. That's the same way the wicked are. They're walking this life without God and suddenly they open their eyes in hell, being in torments. And so the Bible says, beware of covetousness. Now, the day of judgment, look if you would, in Matthew a moment, and notice if you would in verse 5, go back to Psalms, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in congregation of righteous. In other words, there's a day of judgment coming when God's going to separate. He's going to separate the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats, and he's going to separate the trees from the shaft. And there's going to come a day when you're going to be separated. Look if you would in Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13, parables that Jesus gave. Notice if you would in verse number 30. Jesus said, let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. In other words, what God's going to do is he's going to gather together those who are saved. He's taking them to heaven. Now, I'm not preaching on general resurrection, so don't buy into that. But he's going to take and he's going to separate. When the time comes for judgment, God knows everything everybody has done. He will reveal to them in that day. There will be many in the day. And the Bible says those who are saved, we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. When we appear there, we will be saved. That's why we're there. But when we're there, it will be whether we receive rewards for what we've done or whether we lose the rewards for what we've done. And we've lived our life and not gathered anything to show. We shall suffer loss in that situation, but we shall be saved, yet so by fire. The trees are not ever going to be burnt. The saved are not ever going to be burnt. The saved are never going to be lost again. It's an impossibility. You're sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. You are saved with eternal life. You're going to be saved, and when you stand before God and give an account of yourself, He'll know every detail of your life that you have done since you've been saved. And therefore, you will give an answer for what you've done. That will determine on whether you're rewarded or not. But then there's another resurrection that happens of the damned. That is a great white throne. And everybody who stands before them are dead. That's what Shaft is, dead. It's dead. It's of no value. That's why it's burnt. And therefore, he says, if you are ungodly, you will be burnt. And you say, well, God don't think I'm of no value. You will be no value because you had opportunity to be saved. God made you to glorify Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. And when you reject Jesus Christ, you have trod the blood of Jesus under your foot. And when you stand before the great white throne judgment of God, He will say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You will be cast into the lake of fire, there to be tormented forever and ever and ever. And you will be remembered no more. Those who are saved, those who are trees, why are we blessed? We'll be taken into a new city. Amen. We'll be given a new name. Amen. We'll be brought into the family of God. We'll be given a place where there'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting, no more death. Friend, why are we blessed? And therefore, I don't care what you're going through in your life. You say, well, preacher, I've gone through this week. Well, thank God if you're saved and say, I'm blessed. Because when it's all said and done, I have been blessed. Because you didn't get there by yourself. You're there because of the grace of God. And you owe it all to Him. And if you reject God, you will die the ungodly. And those in verse number 6, and we'll close there in Psalms. Look back if you would real quickly. And notice that the Bible says, for the Lord shall know the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Did you notice that is the same word that He used in John chapter 3, verse 16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That means that you will be eternally lost, eternally dead, the second death. You will be separated from God, never again to come into the presence of God. Everything good comes from God. You'll never again experience one thing good. When I see these, when I hear people say something stupid like this, well, I'm going to go party in hell with the devil. You're such a fool. The devil's going to be in torments. His angels are going to be in torments. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. They're going to be in torments, and you're going to be in torments with them. And you'll be suffering the rest of your life. You'll be perishing. While those who are blessed will be rejoicing. So my friend, listen to me. When David contrasts the blessed with the ungodly, the shaft, I don't want to be like Shaft. I don't want my life here upon this earth to amount to nothing. And by the way, he who thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know how we become something? We hook into the vine. Without Jesus, we are nothing. We can do nothing. And so therefore, we become a child of God by connecting into the vine. And the only way that you can have heaven, the only way you can have eternal life, is to have Jesus. This morning, let me ask you this question. Are you saved? If not, that quick. What if Jesus comes and you're left? What if death found you that quick? Do you understand? Do you understand the contrast? And the Bible gets us to preach Please choose. Be wise. Don't be a fool. Be blessed. And be connected into the resources of the Word of God and the promises of God. Therefore, you can walk through life with no fear. Perfect love cast out fear. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, preacher, I've been living my life without God. Listen, you're not going to pull no punches with God. He knows whether you're saved or not. You're not going to play no games with Him. The Bible says in that day in Matthew chapter 7 that He contrasts again. Those that's on the straight road, narrow path, few be there be that goes to life eternal. Many go the wide, broad road that leads to destruction. And He said that in that situation, He recognized and He knew that there would be many in that day that would say unto Him, Lord, Lord, we not prophesy in Thy name, cast out devils, and do many wonderful works? He'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. He knows if you're saved. And this morning, if you're not saved, my friend, you better find Christ. Life would not be worth living. You would be a nothing if you disappear off this earth without Christ. Because you will fade away in hell one of these days to suffer eternal punishment for the rejection of the greatest gift that God ever gave. I walked by this thing this week, and I'll tell you this, and I'll close. We went through this place, had all these vendors, and this one vendor, it happened to be a black vendor, and he had all this stuff. And the thing that caught my eye was, had a big picture about this wide of the Lord's Supper. You know, where they represent Him as sitting at the table and His disciples. And had President Obama in the Lord's place. And had all these other black athletes and actors and all this all along the table. And I was glad to see nobody was at that table, at that tent. But I thought, how foolish. How ignorant. My friend, you need Jesus. And without Him, you shall surely perish. Amen.